everyone. Thanks for checking out the Citizens Podcast. We are the high school student ministry at Maranatha Bible Church, and we meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. in the student wing. If you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you posted it on your Instagram story and tag at MBC Citizens. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy.
You guys doing all right? Yeah, that's, you guys doing good? Who's not doing good? So, like, half of you answer you're doing good, half of you don't answer at all. How many of you just are ready to roll out of here, go home and crawl, go back into bed? Anybody? Yeah, this guy? Okay. Just testing, engaging where we're at. My name is Brian. I call myself the better looking, sorry, let me rephrase that. The worst looking version of the Pastor Brian's here, right? You got the better looking one that's here regularly. I am the less looking good one. I don't know if I'm even saying that right. Less good looking? There we go. Less good looking version of the Brian's here at Maranatha. I also only speak one language and not like 16. So I'm just nearly not as cool, and I don't wear cool shoes either. I just have Hey Dudes. So I don't have a lot going for me is what I'm afraid to say for you guys, right? So hopefully you'll still tune in, though. I got a question for you to start off, though. Who has ever went into something just completely unprepared and then absolutely bombed it? Anybody? Okay, what are some of these things you guys did? Are you willing to share? What do we got? An audition. You went without a script or a water bottle. Okay, that's probably not going to go well. Yeah. What do we got? What did you do? A quiz, a pre-calc quiz. Yeah, so that's something you got studied for. How many, when I said that, schoolwork was the first thing that came to mind? Like, you went into it completely unprepared. Anybody try to take their driving test completely unprepared and completely bomb it? Yeah, thank you. Yep. Anybody sports tryouts? Like, you just kind of casually went at it, right? So sometimes we have this tendency to go into things completely unprepared. I, myself, as a child, I was a child of preparation. As a kid, I loved two things. I loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers, okay? And I would sometimes do really terrible things in the name of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, okay? One time, I actually called 911. Literally called up 911 and said, "Hey, there's robbers in my house. But don't worry, me and the Ninja Turtles are taking over." Okay, this is an absolutely true story. I hang up the phone, they call back. My mom had a beauty shop that was attached to our house, and they call back, and from the beauty shop that was attached to my house, I just hear my mom go, "Brian!" And I knew I was in trouble, right? And I'm probably like five at this time, six, so I have a four-year-old boy. I'm looking forward to the terror that he's going to rain on me because of the child that I was to my mother, because I think it works like that, right? Then there was another time where I was playing Power Rangers, and I was chasing around some of the kids that were in my house while their parents were getting their hair cut, and I, for some reason, decided that I was going to grab the biggest, longest kitchen knife that I could find. And I started chasing this girl around, and she was screaming and doing all these things. And I could have tripped and killed myself, you know? But I was chasing her around, and then she runs into the beauty salon to go tell her mom, and I know I'm in big trouble. Like, I know I'm in big trouble. So I go in the back of my dad's little Ford Red Escort, and there was always a blanket back there, right? Because my dad was ready if the car broke down in the middle of the winter, had to have a blanket because you might get cold. So I went under this blanket in between the seats, and like the front seats and the back seats on the floor, and covered myself up with this blanket and literally hid for hours because I knew I was in trouble. So much so that the police got called again. This time they got called because my mom thought I ran away because I was in so much trouble. And I eventually came out because I think I got hungry or thirsty or something like that. But I was a battler, right? I loved to fight. I loved to do all these things. One time as a kid, there was a kid that was much older than me that kept picking on me. So I picked up a stick and I hit him across the face, broke his nose, all this. Like, I was a terrible kid. I really was. This is just some of the stories. I could tell you more. And I say all this because whether we know it or not, right, each and every one of you sitting in this room are probably walking into things in life that you're completely unprepared for. Scripture is going to point to and tell us today that there is literally a battle being waged for your souls every moment of every day. And if we're being honest, each and every, or I want to say each and every, most of you sitting in this room today don't even know it. Like, you don't even recognize the fact that there is an enemy, literally with legions of armies, who are fighting to, if you don't know Christ, keep you from Christ. If you do know Christ, keep you distracted from Christ, and trying to get you to live into the pleasures and the temptations of this world. And a lot of times, that battle sounds a lot like a ping going off on your cell phone. But the beautiful thing about all this is that there is a battle that's waging war around us, but Christ has put forth a means in which we can be equipped and trained for the battle, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, if you guys want to look at that with me. We're going to be talking about the armor of God. I want you guys to kind of put out that childish song in your head. Have you guys all heard, "Put on the full armor of God, stand strong against the evil one"? Great song, right? It's a great song. But sometimes I think when we think about the armor of God, we think about it in a kiddish way, right? When it's a means in which spiritual warfare that's taking place in our lives and our hearts, and even for some of us right now in this moment, as we're looking to check out and we're looking to disconnect, right? That's exactly what the enemy wants to happen. And he'll use any means that he can. He'll use friends and he'll use thoughts and he'll do all these things to keep us distracted from what really matters. So I want us to look at the armor of God kind of with fresh eyes, right? Looking how God has called and equipped us to face the spiritual battles that we are going into each and every day. So if you guys have your Bibles, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 10 through 18. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all this, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, be alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints." Let's pray over this. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open up your word this morning. We thank you for the reality that we can come to understand and know through the truth of your word, God, that there is a battle being waged, God, and that there are authorities and spirits and things that are constantly on the offense, attacking us, God, and keeping us distracted from you and kind of trying to stunt this principle of sanctification or continually growing into your image, God. So we pray, God, that today would be practical in equipping us to fight that, God. And maybe for some of us, just to have an awareness of the battle that is facing us here this morning, Lord, and that is facing us each and every day, God. Help us understand the reality of spiritual warfare that's going on each and every day, God, and help us understand how to practically equip ourselves to move through, God, to trudge through, God, and to faithfully walk before you, Lord. And pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, so when we look at the background of Ephesians, I want to give you guys just a quick preface of that, right? The background of Ephesians kind of really focuses on the fact that we have been saved by grace through faith, right? We have been redeemed. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been redeemed and reconciled both to God and to one another, right? So that's the premise of everything that he's been talking about in the book of Ephesians here to the church at Ephesus, right? So he's walked through this whole principle of you have been redeemed, you have been reconciled, you have been reconciled to God, and you've been reconciled to one another. And he kind of wraps up, right? This is the last thing he's looking to say to the church of Ephesus. Like, he's leaving them with this charge. He says, "Hey, finally, right? Finally, right? This last thing that I want to tell you, understand you have been redeemed, you have been reconciled. Finally, understand this, right? Take this charge." He says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." When you guys look at that verse, there's two separate times, he's pointing us towards something. Does anybody see, what is he pointing us towards there? Is he pointing us to the power of ourselves? No. What does it say? He says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, right? So we're going to look at three observations just from these couple verses right here, and then we're going to look at seven quick applications slash actions. The first one that we can look at just from an understanding of this is that a walk in faith is not an easy walk, right? If he's calling us to be strong in God's might, what does that mean? That what we're going to do is going to be difficult, right? If he's telling us to be weak, then probably what we're going to do is not going to be a difficult thing, right? Like, does that logically make sense? Like, if someone tells you if we're going to go move some furniture, I say, hey, I need some strong men and women. Who's willing to go, right? You know you're going to do something that's difficult. You're going to do something that's a little bit grueling, right? He's telling the church of Ephesus and in turn telling us when he says be strong that life is going to be hard. Life is going to be difficult. You guys as teenagers may not realize that right now, but I promise you that you're going to start to feel the weight of that as life goes on. Right, as you move into jobs and careers and you move into parenthood and marriage and all these things, right? Life is going to be difficult. Life is going to be challenging. I remember the day that I really began to understand that. It was February 19th of 2018. I had been dealing with a sickness and some doctors told me that I potentially had 6 to 12 months to live. And it absolutely wrecked my world. Right? And so many of these scriptures kind of really began to become illuminated for the first time because I was really, like, really struggling for the first time in my life. So when he tells us to be strong, he's not telling us to be strong for no reason. He's saying life is going to be difficult. And on top of that, the thing that you don't even realize, so many of the difficulties are from unseen forces, are from unseen tactics and attempts by Satan to press in on us, right? We see that. There's a second point I want to make, is that the devil, he don't play, right? I know that it kind of sounds funny, but it's true. Ultimately, the devil doesn't play around. In verse 11 and 12, it says, put on the whole army of God that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. What does this verse tell us? It tells us that there's a real spiritual battle taking place each and every day. Right? And that's a weighty thing. That's a big thing. It's not something to be taken casually, right? If you knew that someone was coming to attack you, right, like you would get ready. Right? Like, it doesn't matter if it's at school, if they're going to do it verbally or physically. Like, as America, if we knew that there was an attack going to be put against us, right, we'd be doing everything we could to counter that attack. We'd be deploying armies, deploying troops. We'd be doing all kinds of things in preparation for that, right? Well, the fact of the matter is what we know from these scriptures is that each and every day, there's an attack being waged on us. Not only that, but there's even some leanings here from what we can glean that there are rankings and like authority even within Satan and the fallen angels, right? There are, what would you call them, troopsmen and generals and commanders, right? Like there's almost like a ranking that we see here because we see different authorities, we see different rulers all being present, right? And that they are all working together to attack believers, right, and to keep unbelievers from ultimately coming to know Christ. So this is a real and present reality in your lives. And I know that with so many things going on and with school and all the things that are going on, like it's not something that you necessarily probably ever even think of or keep track of. But it's something that I wish I would have recognized from a young age because it could have helped me a lot as I walked with the Lord and grew in the Lord. This morning, I had a conversation with my wife. I came early this morning to kind of prep and review for this, and my wife was running late, and then she decided that she was going to try to get the baby that was asleep in the car when she got here out of the car and into a carrier, and then as soon as she got the baby out of the car into the carrier, what happened? The baby woke up, and then she instantly regretted her decision, and then she was frustrated that she was late, and all these things were going on, and then as we began to talk about it, she's like, you know what's going on? She's like, the devil is trying to keep me from worshiping in spirit and truth this morning. He's trying to get my heart and my mind distracted so I don't feel like I can really worship God. And I thought that was a beautiful thing for her to recognize, and we have these conversations often, right, that like the fact that spiritual battles are taking place all around us and we don't even recognize it is a reality that we face. And I think that the younger you are, when you can begin to understand that, the better off you're going to be. But the beautiful thing about this is, even though we're waging a war against Satan in this spiritual war, God has not left us ill-equipped, right? He says, be strong in the Lord and be strong in his strength of his might. He's telling us we are not to rely on ourselves within this. If we try to rely on ourselves, we are going to fail. As strong and as great as you may think that you are, and as great as mental resolve that you may think that you have, you will fail without the Lord. So we are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. In verse 13 it says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You'll be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Right now, what I want you guys to understand, Paul is reminding us of critical spiritual truths that need to be present in our day, each and every day, okay? He uses this imagery of the Roman soldier and the armor of God because it was something that was really relatable to them, right? A couple things were happening at this time, right? One of which was there would be Roman guards all over, literally wearing armor, right, and carrying armor with them. And there was a Roman law at that time that said if a soldier, right, required, you were required, if a soldier asked you to carry his armor for 1 mile, then you were required to take that 1 mile trip, right? It's not exactly 1 mile, but the general premise was if a soldier asked you to bear his load or to carry the weight of his armor for a period of time, you would have to do that. You were required by law to do that for a number of steps or a number of distances, right? So they would have a really real visual representation of the armor that he would have been talking about at this point. You guys are so far removed from that that we're like, what is armor? When we even think about war now, we think about drones and, you know, all this thing that there aren't even people really there. But there's a picture that's up here that I was going to have him pull up that kind of demonstrates what we're talking about. We're talking about the armor of God, right? This is a picture of what a Roman soldier could have looked like to give you a visual representation of the armor of God. Now, I give you this to try to help you understand a little bit of the cultural context of why Paul was using this analogy, right? While he was using these things. But ultimately, what we're reminded of is these are simply spiritual truths that we need to be reminded of each and every day and have at the forefront of our mind, because the devil's not messing around. Whether you know it or not, the devil is coming after you. And I don't mean that to scare you. I mean that's the spiritual reality in which we walk and live in. So we're going to look at some of these really quickly here. First one is the belt of truth. It says, stand therefore, having fasted on the belt of truth. So what is the belt of truth? Well, specifically in the olden days, they would have robes or these gowns, the picture showed that was down there. And what they would do if they were working or getting ready for battle is they would fold up their robes into their pants or their garments that they had underneath, and then they would tie something around them that would hold it so that they could run or walk into battle or run or walk into work or whatever they had needed. So the idea here is literally what they say, girding your loins, right? That's an old-fashioned term for saying you're tucking in all the things that could cause you to trip, right? And how are you doing that? Well, ultimately, you're doing that with what he calls the belt of truth. So we, right, are to apply truth within our lives. And this is so critical this day. Like, if you think about what's going on in the world today, and you think about with young people, what are they trying to do? They're trying to strip away truth, right? There is no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is what is relevant to you. Do what you feel. Do how you feel. You know, it's all about you and pulling away from the absolute truth that's found in the Word of God. But what we know from Scripture is, Proverbs says, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to destruction, right? The thing that can guide us is the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. So what is the belt of truth? It's standing on the truth that you know, the truth that you found and discovered through Christ and through the Word of God. And second thing is, how do we apply it? How do we apply the belt of truth? Well, pursue truth on specific subjects. If you're wondering about sexuality, if you're wondering about temptation, if you're wondering about marriage, if you're wondering about language, if you're wondering about what movie should I watch or what things should I engage in, study Scripture to find out what is true when it comes to these subjects. and dwell on them, meditate on them, begin to apply them to your lives, right? That's what the belt of truth is. It helps to be a guideline, a framework to know what is true and then to pursue that truth. The second thing that we see is the breastplate of righteousness, right? Righteousness means being made right. In Scripture, we see righteousness kind of referred in two different ways. There's righteousness that Christ gave to us, right? And then there's righteous acts that God carries out through the saints. And this can be applied to either way. So, right, one is that Christ has given you righteousness. If you've confessed and believed in Christ, he has what we call imputed righteousness to you, right? Like the idea of a blood transfusion. Like your blood was dirty and unclean, right? And that transfusion has now made your blood clean. It's made you righteous, right? So Christ has given us that righteousness. And as we walk with him, sometimes he commissions us to walk in these righteous acts. So how do we do this, right? How do we apply putting on the breastplate of righteousness? Well, we have to think about who we are in and through the work of Christ, right? When we think about identity, when we think about purpose, like who we are and what we've been created for, the breastplate of righteousness helps to give us that understanding, right? It helps us to show who we are in Christ, right? It helps us to fight against the lies of the devil that may say, you're worthless, right? You're a nobody. You're meaningless. Why are you even here? The breastplate of righteousness helps us to fight against those lies because lies is the tactic that Satan has used since the very beginning. The breastplate of righteousness says, no, I have been made right in and through Christ, and I may be unworthy in and of myself, but I am deemed worthy because of Christ and his righteousness that has been transferred to me through the confession and belief that I have placed in him. So reminding ourselves of the righteousness that's found in and through Christ, right? We got to find ourselves to find ways to remind ourselves of God's grace within our own lives. So I'll share a really quick story, hopefully here, of a way that I've started to do this in my life. One of the things as a pastor that I struggle with is feeling unworthy. I mess up all the time, right? Like I have a lustful heart sometimes. I have a prideful heart sometimes. I have to apologize to my kids. I have to apologize to my wife. I have to apologize to the Lord. And because of that, I often feel unworthy to preach. I feel unworthy to talk to people about God, right? I feel hypocritical sometimes. And what I ultimately have found in my life is the grace that I'm so willingly and readily telling you and extending to you and telling you that God has done this in your life, I don't think it often and apply it to my own life. I hold myself to such a standard that God doesn't even hold me to. So what I've started doing in the morning is I'm trying to do this idea of what I call creating sacred space, right? It's a time and place where I can move away from the vertical focuses that I have and move towards a horizontal focus with the Lord. So every morning when I take a shower, I picture the running water as God's grace, right? I picture it as his righteousness that is running and flowing over me. So every morning when I start off my day, I'm thinking about God's grace and living in and through that. And that my worthiness, right, that my meaning, that my calling, all of this is wrapped up in God's grace and not my own merit and not my own works. So that's something that I do to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Next thing that we see is the shoes of the gospel of peace. What is it? Peace is an attribute of the Lord, right? It's present within him. When Christ was leaving, he literally said, peace I leave with you. He says, not as the world gives it to you, for let not your hearts be troubled or afraid, right? For he has overcome the world. Anxiety is a real thing, and the devil plays on our anxiety to cripple us in fear, right? He makes us nervous and anxious about things that we have no need being nervous and anxious about. Christ has come to give you peace. How do we find that peace? Well, in communion and connection to him. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and petition, present your request before the Lord with thanksgiving, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds, right? So peace, right, is this calming, just leveling that happens within our lives in and through the power of Christ, his work, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we apply it to our lives by spending time in prayer and thinking about the fact that he's extended that peace to us. Next, we see the shield of faith. It says in verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. What does this mean? Well, there's a cool story that goes with this. Maybe some of you heard it. Maybe some of you haven't heard it. But the shield of faith, or the shield that I showed you up there, with Roman soldiers, one of the things that they would do if they knew that they were going into battle, because they were made out of animal hide, like layers and layers of animal hide, is that they would soak them in water. So sometimes for days or as much amount of time as they could going into a battle, they would soak them. Why? Because a lot of armies that would fire off arrows would make them flaming arrows. So if it was soaked, right, it would extinguish or not allow the fire to be transferred to your equipment or to you. And then we literally see in the verses above the call for us to extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. So the shield of faith, right, is a great way that regularly we need to dip ourselves in the Word of God to be replenished and fully functional. Because how do we increase our faith? We increase our faith by hearing, and specifically hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says that, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So day in and day out, soaking up and taking in the Word of God, it helps us to build our faith and to take up that shield of faith. Next, we see the helmet of salvation. Verse 17, take up the helmet of salvation. Salvation happens at the moment that we place our faith and trust in Christ Jesus, right? But it's also this process that happens that we call sanctification, right? Where we're being conformed into the image of Christ. Again, this helmet, the idea, the principle, rests on the finished work of Christ and what he has done, right? How do we take up the helmet of salvation? Well, it's a lot like surrender. Each and every day, as Christ calls us to take up our cross, right, and to follow him, to deny ourselves and follow him, right, that's part of taking up this helmet of salvation. It's setting our minds on things that are above and not things that are down below. It's renewing our minds, allowing ourselves to be transformed, right, in that, as Romans talks about, these ways we can apply the helmet of salvation to our lives. The last thing that we see is the sword of the Spirit, well, the second to last thing, which literally says that it is the Word of God. The way that we apply that is by connecting it to all these other things, right? The Word of God is the one thing that we have that is both offensive and defensive when it comes to the tactics of the devil. It's the very thing that we see Christ fighting temptation with in the wilderness, right? When Satan comes to him and he tries to tempt him, Christ bats him off with Scripture. And then when Satan tries to contort and twist Scripture back at Christ, Christ quotes more Scripture to him within its proper context and meaning. So the sword of the Lord, the Word of God, is powerful and able to help us defend and fend off all the things that the devil might throw at us. And I'll say this, you probably hear this a lot, but I wish I would have had more people in my life when I was 14, 15, 16 years old really helping me understand the value of the Word of God in my life. Like, I know now there's studies out there that they call the power of four, talking about how impactful the Word of God is in their life. It was actually started out as a secular study where I can't remember what university it was, but they were launching this thing out to show the fact that the Word of God has no power on people's lives and that reading the Bible has no transferable effect on you and it makes no difference in your life ultimately, right? And what they found was for people that read their Bibles 1, 2, or 3 days a week, that was typically true. Their lives looked no different. They were just as likely to fall into temptation. They were just as likely to get divorced. They were just as likely to struggle with all these things. But something crazy happened. For those that read their Bible 4 or more days a week, the statistics of engaging in pornography, premarital affairs, divorce, financial struggles, all of these things, when people would read their Bibles 4 or more days a week, began to be drastically reduced. That's the power of the Word of God. It's living and active within our lives, right? And it's this beautiful thing, and it's this whole proper and prim study that goes on to prove that they were looking initially to disprove the fact the Word of God has an impact on people's lives, for them to then see that, actually, when you're regularly in the Word of God, it has a huge impact on our lives. The last thing that we don't have time to go into too much is prayer. Prayer is something that you guys all know, and you probably heard talked about 100 different times, but again, like, I can't express just how much prayer means, right? Like, who wants to be a millionaire? You guys ever seen that? Half of you have never seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Golly, this analogy is not going to hit at all. So in this show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you have what they call lifelines, right? And in these lifelines, one of them is phone a friend. And they have these so-called experts, right, that are willing and ready to call based on whatever the question may be. So you could have a phone a friend, but you could have like 12 people set up to be your phone a friend. And one could be an expert in geography, one could be an expert in history. And based off the question, you're gonna say, hey, I'm actually gonna call my buddy Steve because he would know this. And you call Steve and he gives you this, right? And I think about that and think about how important that lifeline is to them, to those that are trying to win $1 million. And I think about the fact that God is the greatest lifeline that we could ever ask for. And not in a way that he's a genie in a bottle and we call him and he's going to answer all the things that we magically need. But when we call on him in a time of trouble or a time of unknown, he promises a couple things. One, he's going to give us peace. Two, he's going to give us wisdom. Right? If anybody lacks wisdom, he says, ask of God who gives generously and without reproach. So we have a lifeline through prayer and connection to the God of the universe who made everything we know and see around us. Right? We have a connection to him through prayer. But yet we neglect that. Like, it's absolutely insane, right? That we would neglect this lifeline that is literally the exact thing that we need. Originally, I wanted to put an illustration up here for you guys to really understand this, but it didn't work out. I was trying to find my Nerf guns, because I have a couple really awesome Nerf guns that are like rapid fire, just like, right? Like those type of machine guns. I'm not really good at sound effects, so I apologize if that was subpar. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to have some like armor and then start just annihilating someone that was just fully exposed, like no armor, and just start pelting them, right? Because that's the reality of what's happening if we're not coming to battle prepared. Satan is putting a full-on attack on us each and every day. And then I wanted to have someone up here that was fully armored and to show the same thing of what it looked like. So what I did this week was I played it out with my kids. My son Malachi and my daughter JC, we played a game called The Armor of God. And we had this ball, right? And the ball was an immobilizer. So if you got hit with the ball, you couldn't move for 10 seconds. And I showed them what it was like, and I don't go easy on my kids. It doesn't matter if they're 5 or 4. Like, if I'm throwing something, it's full force, squishy ball, headshots, like that's just how I roll. My wife loves it, right? I'm just kidding. I'm not that crazy, but I got to keep it real. Got to prepare them for life. But we played this game where we would hit them, and then they would stop, and they were having a great time, right? And then I said, okay, now we're going to put on armor, and if it hits your armor, you can just keep on rolling. And they put on, like, we put a stuffed animal in them for the breastplate of righteousness, and we put a little helmet on them, and we put these shoes that were kind of like boots that went up. And what happened was it was really hard to hit them after that. Like, for me, and I pride myself on accuracy. Like, that's the one thing that I've, done well in life is I can usually hit things when I throw. That's about all I've got in life. I can throw things pretty accurately. And I couldn't really hit them. And I was teaching them how relevant this was, right, for our own lives, for the fact that each and every day, guys, Satan is coming after you. And the greatest protection that you have is being strong in his might and in his strength and putting on the armor of God, reminding ourselves day in and day out of the truths of these spiritual principles, right? Settling ourselves on the truth, settling ourselves on Christ's righteousness, his salvation, the peace that throws through him, spending time in his word and spending time in prayer. I can't stress this enough because the fact of the matter is that a war is being waged, right? And if you're here and your parents dragged you here and this just goes in one out ear and out the other, then okay, that's whatever. But if you're here and you're saying, man, I'm in a stage of life where I'm looking to make my faith my own, like start by applying these truths to your life day in and day out, spending time in the Word of God because there is a battle that's taking place. So I'm going to just give a minute here. You got that song queued up? We're going to take a minute. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity just to pray. We're going to listen to a song called Battle and just pray for strength and pray for an awareness of the spiritual battles that are taking place around you and asking God that he would equip us for those things so that we can stand firm in his strength and in his might. So I'm just going to give you guys a couple minutes and then I'll close out in prayer. That you would give us an awareness of the spiritual realities that are around us each and every day, God, that there is a battle that's taking place, God. And that we are either walking into that battle ill-equipped, God, or we're walking prepared, ready for whatever may come our way. God, we pray that you would help us, as your word says, to be strong in your might and in your strength, Help us to put on the full armor of God. God, help us to stand in your truth. God, help us to recognize the righteousness that we have in and through you, Lord. Recognize the finished work of your salvation on the cross, God. To recognize the peace that flows in and through you, God. To recognize the treasure that we have in your word, God. And we pray that you'd help us to be steadfast and constant in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would just help us to live this out, God, for it not just to tickle our ears and to think, oh yeah, this is probably something I need to think of or be more aware of, God, but to make a battle plan, Lord, to be intentional in these areas. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.